Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Third and final hour, Thursday edition, Robbie Rex Show, sponsored by First Horizon, Big Bank Muscle, Small Bank Hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We are broadcasting today from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. And as we do every Thursday at this time, happy to welcome in our friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports, who I texted, like I always do, and I said, what are we talking about, Charles? And he just completely ignored me. So I guess Charles wants to go rogue today.
Yeah, it's in your hands. Every once in a while, he's got to turn the wheel over, so...
I will assist.
Paul, is your computer not muted? Please mute your computer.
It's muted. Come on. I will assist. I will assist in this rogue operation.
Amateur hour. Yeah. Amateur hour.
Yeah. This is going really well.
Well, I mean, Joe causes chaos. You're getting out of New Orleans, which is always a difficult time getting out of the Super Bowl city. And what you tweeted was that the holographic cover of the Super Bowl program was setting off baggage alarms. How is this possible, and how big of was the chaos that this was causing?
I mean, and it happens every year. That's the crazy thing. That's why, like, it's a nightmare if you check your bag, because you know, A, it's going to take forever to get out of the Super Bowl city you're trying to leave. And then B, you know, they've even gotten to the point now where they'll message you ahead of time to make sure that you're not putting these things in your bag. So every bag that runs through X-ray, because these programs that they give away at the Super Bowl all have this kind of foil cover. They've had it forever. This has been going on. I mean, I this is probably my 20th Super Bowl, and every single one has had this cover. And yet it still continues to be a problem. So every time people check bags, they start going through X-ray, and it's not like at the counter. It's always happening, you know, behind. Once you put it on the conveyor belt, it disappears into the Wizard of Oz, you know, the Land of Oz. And then next thing you know, you're getting called up there because your bag has set something off, and TSA is now opening it. They're looking through it. So it extends the amount of time you have to wait. It took me. And I, it's funny because I scheduled out late. I always think the morning's got to be the worst. Everybody's trying to get out of the city as soon as possible. So I tried to get out of there later. It took me, I don't know, five or 6 hours from leaving my hotel to getting to the airport and actually getting to my gate.
Oh God!
And which in New Orleans is not. It's not like the airport's. It's not necessarily close, but in no traffic, you know, it's a half an hour trip. And instead it was, I don't know, sitting in traffic for a couple of hours. It's for all the New Orleans Super Bowls I've ever been to, I felt like this one was the worst trying to get out. It was just a total nightmare. They weren't letting planes leave because there weren't enough people on them because everybody was stuck in line. And yeah, it was a racket trying to get out of there. So I'm glad to be home, that's for sure. Next time I drive to Houston. So
primary takeaway, Charles. I mean, all the takes have been flying around. You know, you got Mahomes. And certainly we've talked a lot about, look, this is Jalen Hurts. I mean, I think Jalen Hurts is getting a little bit disrespected for how he played and what he is as a quarterback. But They won convincingly with a very good quarterback, not an all-timer, not an elite quarterback. But I think this is a great example of, if you're dominant up front in this league, what that can do for you.
Yeah, I mean, it was a defensive win, really. It was for Philly. They were so overwhelming defensively. And I think when I watched it, I could just see that, you know, Kansas City had this attitude over the last couple of years that Patrick Mahomes will raise all boats, and you can have a rotation of wide receivers where no one's necessarily special. You can have a rotation of running backs where no one's necessarily special. Maybe you can get away with some failures on the offensive line where, you know, you're scrambling, you're moving Joe Tooney. Is Joe Tooney going to be guard, you know, this week? Or is he going to be a tackle this week? What are we going to do? And, you know, Mahomes in past years at the highest level of his game could cover for some of that, but you could see it instantaneously against the Eagles. I mean, they looked outclassed immediately, and they build the same way. The Eagles build the way Reed used to build. There was offensive and defensive line. That was where you poured in a lot of your resources. You really focused in on that. That's the way Howie Roseman likes to build in Philly. And you could just see the difference between the units, both offensively and defensively. The Eagles were just so much better on the lines, and it wasn't even remotely close. And my thought process by the end of the game, I just thought, okay, Kansas City, this is it. They're going to have to rebuild now around Mahomes. They're going to have to go out and find, you know, receivers that aren't, okay, we've got 5-6 guys. Who knows who's going to be the guy this week? It'll be predicated on what Mahomes, you know, who he gets dialed in with. Yeah, they can go get Kareem Hunt off the couch. No, you can't do that anymore. You actually need a special primary back behind him. Travis Kelce, it was unbelievable how rough he looked on the field. I mean, he had a couple of drops, but it was just that he seemed so slow. Like there was no separation for him in routes. His blocking was really, really rough. And you could tell when you watched it, I couldn't believe how bad it was though when I went back and rewatched the game, on TV rather than from a box. Just how slow he was getting out of his stance on blocks. And the Chiefs, the way I termed it going into this game, it was like a team that they weren't catching greens, they were catching yellows all season. Every intersection was a yellow light, and eventually you were going to hit a red. And this was the game where they hit a red, and the Eagles just, you know, outclassed them in so many different ways. And I give Howie Roseman credit. You know, he completely built two Super Bowl winning teams kind of in different ways with different quarterbacks. And, you know, granted, from a salary cap, you know, standpoint, at some point they're going to hit an iceberg here. You can only have so many void years with so much money, and they're going to have to make some decisions here. But they hit on young players, and that's huge, you know, for Philly when you got to dig yourself out of cap problems. But, I don't know how it felt to you guys. It was a bad Super Bowl. It's been a while since I felt like I've been to a bad Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, we've had a great run. No doubt about it. I think it goes back to what? The Panthers Broncos, right? Panthers Broncos. We've had a hell of a run. Yeah. I mean, Patriots Rams was pretty crappy to watch, but it was still technically a competitive game. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this was, you know, it felt like I remember Broncos Seattle when
that was back to back with the Broncos. Terrible. One loss, one win for them. Yeah.
One loss, one win. But this was that one where, you know, Seattle was so dominant in that game and the Broncos were just blown out so fast where you're just like, oh my God, this is just a dog. And it kind of turned into that. And there was never that moment. There was never the 28-6 moment where it's like Patriots Falcons where you're like, nah, they could still have a chance. It did not feel like the Chiefs had a chance. Like, it was just Mahomes was constantly under pressure. He didn't look good, you know, pressured. And I'll ask you guys this because I do think it's an interesting question. We continue to look at Mahomes, and there's no doubt in my mind, Mahomes, elite, great. You know, I still think he's, if not the best player in football, he's perennially in that conversation. But I think we do have to admit, we have not seen the ultra, automatic MVP Mahomes in a couple of years now, right? I mean, can we agree on that we have not seen?
Yes, but I think that's because of what's around him. I mean, I think that's because of what's around him, right? I mean,
right. And, yeah, yeah.
I agree. I mean,
part of, like, Dan Watts and I are sitting there and we're watching the game, and I kind of remarked to Dan, like, to me, this is a little bit of the greatness of Brady, is that when I watch Mahomes, and it's not like Brady didn't have the same thing. He went 10 years without winning the Super Bowl. It's not just an automatic now that you plug Mahomes in and he's going to you know, make it right. And I don't want to kill him here because obviously they had a great season.
He still made how many clutch plays the last 2 years, or how great did he play at Baltimore last year, right? Like he had enough moments where you're like, okay, when he really needs it, he finds it. He didn't at all in this game.
Couldn't.
Yeah. It's just, I think the being under pressure, reduced him to me. You know, we have this GOAT conversation. Everyone was so sure heading into this game. He's going to catch Brady. It's going to happen. And I made the remark, like, we all said it about, like, Tiger and Jack Nicklaus, right? Tiger came out of the gate. We're like, he's definitely catching Jack Nicklaus. He's going to have all the, you know, the most majors, all this stuff. And then, obviously, you know, whether it's on the course or off, he ran into different things in his career. It wasn't like it was just marital issues. He had back problems that completely derailed his career. And I think we should just be careful about assuming that this guy is going to be able to track down Tom Brady when Tom Brady played at an insane level until he was, what, 45? I mean, the insanity of that set in a little bit for me watching Mahomes in this game where you're like, oh, other teams do catch up, and now the Chiefs have to show they have the ability to adjust and reload. And it won't be – I personally don't think it's going to be fast. I think it's going to take a couple of years to really line that team with some talent and replace some of these guys. I don't think Kelsey's easy to replace. I don't think that offensive line is – no offensive line nowadays is easy to just turn over from 1 year to the next. And then, like I said, it goes to every skill position around him as well, where they lack quite a bit offensively to be able to, you know, I think deal with the level of defenses that they're going to start to run into, especially in the AFC.
Real quick on your Brady point, I think it's all fair. I think, you know, longevity is obviously a huge – you know, Tom Brady played 22 seasons in the NFL, so 12 of his seasons he did not play in a Super Bowl, right? So – again, I'm not knocking him. I mean, he played in 10, he won 7. No one's, but I'm just saying, like, you know, Mahomes could have a stretch of a rebuild and come back, and by then everybody will bury him and say, "Well, that's what people were doing with Brady." I mean, you know, when you get into the 07, then he has the ACL in 08, you know, all that whole stretch where they were just okay, it was like, well, we'll never hear from that guy again. Then we did. He had a total second act, totally different, like, dynasty with the same. And so I don't know if that's going to happen with Mahomes or not. The longevity is the incredible thing with Brady, but it could, right?
I mean, so here's the thing, though, that you have to think about, too, is, Brady had Belichick all that time. Mahomes may not have Reed all that time. Right. I think even after this game, you're like, okay, like Andy's saying he's going to come back in 2025, but it's already that question every year, how long are you going to stick around? So he may not have that coach, you know, where Brady – I think Brady's Super Bowls, most people agree. Like, if you really know the dynamics of it, you really go back and look and comb through the numbers, maybe the first half of the Super Bowl wins were Bill's, the second half were Tom's. And, you know, they both had a hand – you know, they played a hand differently, that tandem. So Mahomes may not have the coach tandem the entire time. And I have said this in the past, and I will continue to say it. What Brady did from the age 35 to 45 is so insane in the NFL that for people just to think it could ever be replicated it's never been replicated in history. So the assumption that another guy, any guy, even Mahomes, anybody can just come out and replicate that in the last 10 years of his career. I used to, you know, look, I would make the joke. I'd be like, how come we don't ever talk about Brady and, like, you know, HGH, or like, what is he doing? Is this really just the TB12 system where this guy physically is holding it together at a high level in years when, you know, Breeze his late 30s and you're like, okay, you can see it, like, it's coming. And usually the decline is a cliff. It's not, hey, they lose a little bit of the fastball every year. It didn't even feel like really he did that until, you know, maybe the last year he was in the league. So it's going to be a fascinating conversation with him, and there's a lot of heavy lifting, I think, to do with the Chiefs, even with that record, even making it to the Super Bowl. During the Super Bowl week, at one point I said, like, it felt like they were so bored. Like, the Chiefs felt like this experience was so rote for them, where they're just like, can we just get to the game? And I do remember it getting like that with the Patriots as well. but you have to be able to obviously maybe feel that way, but not, you know, you can't come out flat. And I said during the week, I think there's a chance the Chiefs come out flat in this game. I didn't know they would come out flat because they got flattened. But that's ultimately, you know, what really happened. So that, and that division too. That's another thing. Like you talk about the AFC East with the Patriots, the AFC West is, that's just a murder division for how long with the coaches. That's the problem too. It's coaches and quarterbacks, and it's going to be a brutal division for a really, really long time.
The now the Brady question is Botox, not HGH. What do you think about what's going on in Jacksonville? What do you think of Tony Boselli as their top executive? Where do you think they're heading with GM at this late stage?
J-Rob?
I think J-Rob's got a shot. I really do. I think he's got a chance. And you know, the Liam Cohen thing was just – everything has been – oh, my God, what a mess this entire offseason. And the crazy thing about the Liam Cohen hiring that, you know, really made you aware how messy this was going to get was early on, I was hearing out of their building, like, they loved Liam Cohen. They loved him a really long time. They were not looking really – like, Ben Johnson was not their guy. Liam Cohen was their guy all along. And then you watch how this goes down where they just botch it so horribly with Trent Baalke, where everyone's telling them, the guy's got to be out. He can't be here. I heard there were, like, Zoom calls with coaches where, you know, Shad Khan was saying, if you want to fire Trent, you can fire Trent. He's on the Zoom call. Like, it was just, you know, and coaches who are doing the interviews are like, that's not really the responsibility I want. Maybe you guys should just handle this. So, you know, if the decks are truly clear, clear the decks. Don't keep them around to arrange interviews, and then maybe we see if he sticks on after this. You know, Boselli, there's familiarity there, which does not surprise me at all with the ownership group. It's just everything, the way that this has gone, has been so chaotic. I do think Liam Cohen can do well there. I think they're actually set up for what he does well. I would imagine Jacksonville's running game is going to get a whole heck of a lot better, and they have the backs to do it. He has, between Tank Bigsby and Travis Etienne, I think they have the ability to be a pretty dynamic running team right away. The way he schemes it up, when you talk to guys across the league, he's very creative as, you know, a run scheming head coach. And so I think that'll be a huge lift, I think, for Trevor Lawrence. I think they have the pieces there actually offensively to turn it around pretty quickly, knowing what they have in Brian Thomas Jr. Again, knowing how they'll lean into the run, I think it'll make a difference for them pretty quickly. Now, GM wise. Yeah. I do think J-Rob's got a chance, but it's just, I think ownership has been bad for a really long time. I think it was showcased more this offseason than ever before, just the way that they approached this. And even going into last season, when you saw Shad Khan saying things that clearly the GM, Baalke, was saying to him at the time, Trent Baalke was saying to him at the time, and then you would see Doug Peterson literally at podiums, I was like, Doug feels like Doug's trying to get fired here. Like, Doug Peterson almost making fun of some of the comments, like in the press conferences, where I'm like, it's just so openly backwards in this franchise, and it starts at the top. There's going to be something to overcome, even if John gets that shot ultimately. Which of the candidates they've brought in, I think, you know, from an experience standpoint, he probably brings more to the table than a lot of people they've interviewed at this stage.
So we've asked about, you know, this, but and we're going to continue until the Titans figure something out. But, I mean, it just seems like Aaron Rodgers is going to be light on opportunity.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got to be considered, like, it's got to be considered an actual decent-sized percentage of the possibility for the Titans. Some people disagree with me on that. But then there's also, just wondering if there's anything new on your end on, like, Stafford being moved or whatever there that's going on there. Darnold, you know, and the Vikings. I mean, do you agree with me that Rodgers to the Titans or something like that is he's going to have to be relegated to just like if you want to start in this league, you got to go to a place like that?
Yeah, I do. I think it's he's not going to be beggars can't be choosers, and he's going to be a beggar.
Is he going to be a beggar, though? Like, is there a chance that he's just like, you know what? No.
Done.
Yeah.
Well, he might. Yeah, okay. There's that. I think it's do I want to – if I'm going to go out here and I don't have my ability to, you know, choose where I want to go, you know, could he just hang it up? Absolutely. I definitely think that's a possibility. I can't answer. He's so – that guy's so off in his own in his own world when it comes to this stuff that I can't even tell – you know, when you talk to his friends and you're like, you know, can I get a read on this? And at this point, they just shrug. They're like, you know, I don't know. Like when he takes time now in off seasons, his circle is so much different and smaller than it used to be in past years. No one's really fully sure, you know, who he's listening to. That documentary comes out. And I literally, it was crazy because someone who's known him for a really long time said to me, you know, there were like personal moments in that documentary, which obviously is a doc, it's docutainment. That's what I always call it. They're like, he's at points, he's having like these personal moments with people. I don't even know who they are. I've never heard of that person in my life. I've never heard him talk about that person. Like, they're just shocked at this existence that he has away from people he's known for years and years and years. And they don't know if, you know, what kind of impact are these people having on this decision-making process when it comes to football? You know, who is he taking? Like, whose counsel is he taking at this point? He's just really on his own. But I don't think it's going to change in terms of, you know, him having a bunch of opportunities all of a sudden. I would be shocked if Sam Darnold's back with the Vikings. The Rams situation with Stafford is weird to me.
Shocked if he's back. What are they doing? I don't get that.
What do you mean? I mean, I don't think that the Vikings are going to be inclined to pay him $40 million. I mean, if they here's the deal.
I don't get not doing a tag year after what he did last year. I mean, you got a rookie who's coming off an ACL.
Okay, so it's two things. Number one, I think they feel like if they could get him on I think if he goes out there in free agency, which is what's going to happen, and all of a sudden he looks and says, man, you know what? There's just not this long line of people who want to run out here and pay me $50 million plus. Maybe, you know, sticking in Minnesota and taking a $40 million a year deal where I'm really only guaranteed 2 years of salary here. I think if he's willing to do that, I think they will seriously consider that. More than this idea that he's going to go out there and sign, you know, 5 years, $250 million with, you know, $150 million in guaranteed money. I don't think they're going to sign up for that experience. And I told you before, I think part of the problem here is the way that he ended the season. The troubling part of it was that he lost two big games. He didn't lose them the same way. We discussed this. Like, this is inside their building.
Yeah, I understand that. I'd still tag him, though, for a year. You know, I mean, I understand the knock.
But, Joe, they want to sign other guys, Joe. I mean, there's other consideration. There's other talent they want to keep.
Well, I look forward to them going 7-10 next year with J.J. McCarthy at quarterback. That'll go over.
I mean, look, I don't – Kevin O'Connell's a pretty dang good coach. And they seem to have a lot of – faith that they can get that ceiling out of JJ. I don't know if they can or not, but you know, we'll see it. But in terms of like Rodgers, again, like Stafford, the Rams thing with Stafford is odd to me because I think there's I don't want to say there's a differing of opinion inside the organization when it comes to him, but there certainly is a I think McVay is more than willing to have Matt Stafford come back. I don't think he's necessarily pushing him out the door, but I do think the financial amount is going to matter. I do think, you know, there are people who are like, let's look at our other options and see, you know, if it's Jackson Dart, if there's, you know, is there a young guy that we can pivot to now and start that process? But I don't think, you know, I just don't think it's this slam dunk that they're absolutely you know, going to do a one-year deal with him, and that is ultimately what it would be when it comes to the amount of guaranteed money. So it's more up in the air. I thought by now we would know a little more definitively, but neither Les Snead, the GM, or Sean McVay, obviously the head coach, has been committal in any way when it comes to Matt. I think a lot of that has to do with, you know, how they want to negotiate. And then I do think they're trying to get a look at maybe what some of the other options will be, including a draft class, whether there's a third quarterback there who comes out of the ether.
Interesting. Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports. Thank you, my friend. And next week you won't have to deal with me introducing you, so you'll be more comfortable. But
so
you'll miss Kaharsky, though.
Yeah.
I won't get all the
what a trade.
Messages leading into the show. Hey, what are the topics?
I'm texting you at 5. I'm texting you at 5:30 a.m. next week, so be ready.
doesn't mean he wakes up for it.
I'm coming off the Super Bowl. My knee's killing me. Like I'm like I got Joe's like, give me the topics.
Relentless topics now.
His knee's killing him. Like he played in the game.
gotta get that treatment. Gotta get the treatment. Gotta get in the cold tub. So, all right, thanks, Charles.
Yeah, Chief.
We'll talk to you next week. See ya. That was Charles Robinson. We'll react to him. Coming up next, Robbie Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, sponsored by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. And, all right, we'll go to Ed in Jersey. We're getting texted about a trade idea that blows my mind. We'll get to that. Not Titans related, but it is in the AFC. But Ed in Jersey on the line on a Titans trade. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, guys. Just isn't the optimal window for them to trade this pick the right after the combine, the 2 weeks in between the combine and free agency? I mean, if they get a quarterback, not any quarterback, but a certain quarterback, Titans would tip their hand in free agency. Other quarterbacks would sign with other teams to reduce the trade partners that you might have. So to me, waiting until the draft day is kind of a risk, unless you're absolutely sold on Carter and Hunter and, you know, are willing to take that risk to drive that last minute value up. But that's, to me, that 2 week window, I think, is when the Rams traded with the Titans in that same window when they traded it before. I think that's the optimal window, in my opinion.
Rams trade was 2 weeks before the draft. I agree with you about optimal window, but I also think the idea about tipping your hand with what you do in free agency, unless you get Stafford, I think you're not saying too much.
Like you still could, in theory,
get both
QB.
Yeah. Atlanta really helped with that because it's not unprecedented now to sign even a big free agent,
invest
bigger than the Titans would be signing anybody in this market, and invest high capital in a rookie quarterback, which they did with Cousins and Penix.
Which I thought was insanely stupid. But
right.
I guess it worked out okay. If Penix is going to be good, they needed him at the end of the year. They didn't get in the playoffs, but they needed him based on Cousins' performance.
Yeah, and I don't like the idea of the Titans doing that. I mean, if you're spending number one on a quarterback, you shouldn't be investing anything but just money. I mean, if you're spending just money on a veteran quarterback, that's fine. But you can't be dealing anything for a quarterback if you're spending number one on a quarterback.
You can't be reducing your draft capital and using the high pick on the QB.
I absolutely agree.
Bad,
now, speaking
bad
of these
business.
Draft quarterbacks, I don't know if you've had the pleasure. And I know you're a big Shedeur Sanders guy. But if it's the Titans or whoever it is, if you're drafting Shedeur Sanders, you're not just getting a quarterback. You're getting a music guy. He put out a video. And here he is. Everybody get up and dance.
There's too much going on, girl, just do me a favor. Girl, I know you love me, but you know I can't date you. You know I'm a rich, I ain't got no neighbors.
Soak it in.
I get miss, yeah, you hate us.
I'm sure this is available wherever you stream.
Is that, what's the name of this? Is this your favorite Shedeur Sanders?
As far as I know, it's the only Shedeur Sanders. It's available on the interwebs. It was tweeted out, video.
The video too? Okay.
Oh no, it's about the video. I don't know if it's about the song at all. So it's meant to be watched, I think, more
That's
than
what I'm
just
saying. Like this
to.
Is a there is a video, oh, yeah. The whole thing. Oh, okay, yeah. I'll have to check that
you
out.
You into that?
No, that's yeah, that sounds I mean, frankly, that sounds exactly like all the music that my kid listens to that I'm like, yeah, they all copy each other and it's mumbling. It's just not very good.
Yeah.
Now again, Kendrick Lamar is awesome. That's different.
Don't bring Kendrick Lamar into it. I will say
well,
this.
Well, he is. He's will, great. Drake
will,
is good too. That
I will
stuff
say
wasn't
this
good.
To Shedeur Sanders. I will give him advice that Tajay Sharp once offered. Stay your lane.
Yeah, that's right. What was he saying?
Stay your lane.
Was that a tweet?
I think he was trying to tell the media to stay in their lane, which was
about
hugely
what,
hypocritical because he was trying to do this very thing with music when he should have stayed his lane trying to catch footballs.
Tajay Sharp was? Yeah. I don't remember his music at all.
Yeah, well, it was very not memorable because wow. It sucked, just
okay.
Like this.
Interesting. That's thank you for bringing that to the show. But okay, before we get to this trade, we got Adam in Portland on the line talking about the Titans pick. What's up, Adam? Did you like that song?
It's a banger, dude. Yeah, it was good. I liked it. I wish he would have put the word Titans in there or something that would let us know it's about football.
You couldn't have heard the word Titans if he said the word Titans. It's indecipherable.
Yeah, that'd be. Yeah, he can remix it later. Hey, real quick. So the Titans. All right. So this is what I was thinking about today because I'm thinking about only happy football memories I have are old Titans teams and not the new one. But you think about that '99 season and we 36-35 against the Bengals week one. They go on not to lose at Adelphia Coliseum. Had they lost that game, I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl. I bet the season feels completely different. And then it brings me to this Titans season. And go, you know, we were up both those games in the first 2 weeks. I wonder how bad this team really is, dude. That's all. Like, momentum's everything. You saw it with the Predators last year. I think that was a phony team who got on a hot run. But I just got a feeling, man, like, once you have a quarterback choke the life out of your team the way Levis did to us, like, how I don't think our roster's as far. Maybe our roster's not as far as we think it is. That's all. What are the chances that's the case? I guess that's my question. Like, is there any chance – we're not as depleted as it feels like right now. We just don't know how to win football games.
All right, we'll address that. Thank you, Adam. And also, we will get to this trade. I still need to check on the veracity
yeah,
of this possibility.
Yeah,
a QB trade in the AFC. We come back, wrap it up at Robbie Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Final segment, Robbie Rex Show, 102.5, 106.3 the game, Paul Karski. Look what you've done, Paul. So you've got things riled up.
Into the music.
Look what you've done. You've got things riled up. So now we got the
dance,
one of my
fools.
favorite topics, which is people like on YouTube here like, I don't want a musician. I want a full-time athlete. Thank you. See? I mean that's what I really I should be making music is really what the takeaway is. Yeah, I mean, we were just making fun of the song, man. Like
terrible.
Like, it's like, but I have no. This means nothing to me in terms of him as a quarterback. Like these guys again. Like Will Levis was bad last year. It had nothing to do with the fact that he spent a day doing a Mayo commercial, which actually I thought was pretty funny. Like they have free time.
It's
you can
funny.
Do things with your free time.
Yes. The one thing it tells you is like what a guy chooses to do with his free time. So it's not Will Levis's fault that the Mayo company is dumb enough to go into a campaign with the guy who's busting.
I hope they sold some Mayo. Mayo,
right.
Mayo quarterback.
Right.
You know,
so it says not Shedeur Sanders could do whatever he wants in his free time. Now, does it tell you maybe a little bit about Shedeur Sanders that he thinks he's any good at music and might be delusional about that? Maybe that tells you a little something. But right. I don't care what a guy – this idea that a guy has to be football 24/7 is actually unhealthy. If a guy's football 24/7, it's a little unhealthy. He needs to do something away from football.
Yeah.
Every guy does.
Yes. Like, you know, some of them just watch TV. No one gets mad about that.
Yeah, most
no
of them
idea.
Watch TV and play video games.
Right. So, the trade. And this is – okay, so this is –
did we get any further?
Well, I mean, look, there are people – so Andrew Filippone, who definitely is a big Pittsburgh media guy, says – calls him the very plugged-in Ryan Burr, is the one reporting this. Ryan Burr is Big Ten Network – looks like he works for the Big Ten Network – a broadcaster, but apparently he says he got this straight from the Jags organization. So I'm taking this as not just some rando, you know, anonymous account like the one that was screaming at us earlier about politics. This looks to be legit to some extent, and it is Trevor Lawrence potentially to the Steelers for their first and second this year. Your first thought when I throw that trade idea at you?
I don't think it's a bad idea for the Pittsburgh Steelers if Arthur Smith likes Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he's certainly better than what they've had. And the Steelers need to do something to get over the hump. They've got, like, they're 27th or something like that in dollars invested in offense. They're a completely defensive football team. And they can't get over the hump. They can get in the playoffs, but they can't win games. Now, is Trevor Lawrence automatically winning you playoff games? No. But does he give you a hell of a better chance than the path that they've been on since Ben Roethlisberger? Yeah. And there aren't a lot of great alternatives out there. Those Pittsburgh picks are not high. I don't know if I have Tankathon open here.
Well, 21. They're definitely 21? 21 in the first.
21
so
in the
right
first.
Right in that range, I assume, in the second. But
yeah. I mean, now what does Jacksonville do? Jacksonville's got Mac Jones. I don't know if he's under contract or not, but he played some decent football for him. He beat the Tennessee Titans, if I'm correct.
Still, not he likes him. Still, he's a big fan.
Not that that's any challenge, but they would be looking for a quarterback. Do they like somebody in the draft? Is Liam Cohen? Now you open up the door.
Does
the
John Robinson come up to the top of the draft and trade with the Tennessee Titans? Oh, my goodness.
Well, the other thing people are going to ask is, does Liam Cohen think that Will Levis could play for him in the NFL?
Mac Jones, Will Levis, quarterback room.
So
think of all the exciting possibilities.
But it's a very interesting there's going to be a very interesting day in Pittsburgh and in Jacksonville of sports talk radio.
Yeah, and we may have some fun with that tomorrow.
But keep in mind that the GM is not in place in Jacksonville right now. So you're making this trade or introducing this idea to Tony Boselli, who's still interviewing GM candidates. So it's a ways away.
Yeah.
Guy's got to come in. Guy's got to assess Trevor Lawrence and his roster. Guy's got to assess Mac Jones.
And
guy's got to assess the draft possibilities.
And why is someone in the Jacksonville organization telling this guy this and saying it's okay to put it out there before they have a GM?
Well, you don't know if he's telling them it's okay to put it out there.
Well, I guess that's true.
It might be the Steelers.
And I apologize. Well, but again, according to this guy, he said it's straight from Jacksonville. He said it's I'm getting this from Jacksonville. So I don't know.
I don't know. It's interesting.
Adam in Portland. I'm sorry, Adam. I said I'll answer after the break. My short answer to you is I think that this roster stinks, okay? I mean, I do think that there's something to Levis, his performance, making it look worse at times. I think, but I wouldn't get too optimistic. It's pretty bad.
It needs a lot of work. I think it's pretty bad, but I think it's a little better than we think. These guys that they brought in, Cushenberry, Diggs, those are better. You know, they lost them halfway through. Now Diggs is probably not back, but the loss of Cushenberry was bad. Sure. I think that Chicago game really sent them into a spiral, and early Levis being bad really sent them in a spiral. And yes, they could not figure out how to win. And there are players on that roster who are capable of winning. There are players on that roster who came from places where they won before. The way things didn't gel, they couldn't have foreseen. I mean, it went as badly as humanly possible.
Yeah, I think there's something. I mean, I think like the defensive side of the ball, you know, there's it's not hopeless. There are some guys there. But it needs a lot of work. I mean, I hear what you're saying. The way it started, not just the way they blew that game, but then you have that turnover the next week, and it's like, what is happening with this guy? And even Callahan is early in the season losing his bleep when he's not a guy who's going to do that much.
Or take this scenario. They start a little better, right? And so they don't bail, and they keep Ernest Jones, right? Well, Ernest Jones brings you some of the leadership that I'm constantly complaining about, and he's just a better player.
Yeah.
And then you're better at inside linebacker, and what kind of trickle effect does that have on everything, right? I think that could have been a significant thing for this team. And I'm not saying it turns into a good football team, But it's a better football team with Ernest Jones in the locker room and on the field. But they did a good job turning that around into something of value.
Not as moribund, word of the day, as we may think. All right, tomorrow we'll have Stilly, TD. We will look at this Lawrence-Pittsburgh thing. We'll have much more to talk about. Robbie and Rex Show, Chase and Big Joe. Next, 102.5.
Don't lock the box. Lock your locks.